Good evening. I would like to call the coordinating committee meeting, and it's about 5:07 Pacific Standard Time. I don't know if folks just got an agenda from me. I apologize for not being able to send it out earlier, but it incorporates some of the feedback that we received from Ray and Dave, and I think those were the two that had offered up some of the suggestions for the agenda items. So if you'd like, I can read through the agenda for folks that don't have it in front of them right now.
Have we started the formal call?
Yes.
Okay. I'm the secretary. I was away. Could I just get a quick reading of the roll? Sorry, I apologize, just for the record.
Oh, no problem. So let me go ahead and start. Wendy Sherrell?
I'm sorry, here?
Ambrose?
Here.
Dave?
Here.
Bonnie?
Here.
Ray?
Here.
Julie's here. And then Fadi, Mark, Dan, and that's it.
Great, thanks. Great.
Okay, so if folks would like, I can go ahead and read through the agenda right now.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so item number one would be approval of agenda. Item number two is approval of minutes from last coordinating committee meeting. Item number three is director inspection rights. Item number four is PNB secretary. Item five is posting and access to minutes from PNB committees. Number six is Pacifica Internet Tuner Project. Number seven is information on board packets, or in-board packets, I'm sorry. And then that's all the items we have to cover this evening.
Could you reread after inspection rights?
Sure.
Four is what?
PNB secretary.
Okay, great. Five is?
Posting and access to minutes from PNB committees.
Okay. And six?
Pacifica Internet Tuner Project.
That's an information request, okay.
And then information on in-board packets.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Move the agenda.
Second.
Okay, the agenda's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, let's move to approval of minutes from last coordinating committee meeting. Did everyone receive Dave's minutes?
They were sent at the end of the last call, which was back on the 19th of June. Excuse me, June. April.
Try that again.
We all feel it. And thank you, Dave, for your speedy release of those minutes. It was awesome. So are there any, I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes that were generated by Dave Adelson?
I'd move it, but they're my minutes, so I'll let someone.
Don't move. This is Wendy.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. Is there a second?
I second it, Ray.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none. We shall move into item number three, which is director inspection rights. At the last teleconference of the entire PNB, it was moved that we provide access to information as requested by the directors, and that moving forward, directors follow the communications policy that was set forth in April of last year, in which all information requests will be funneled through the coordinating committee. I'm not sure if folks have sort of thoughts or comments about this, or if there's any kind of report from the national office or management in terms of how. I think the most immediate request that was on the table was the Heffley-Lavarne request, and where that is at this point.
Julie, this is Dave.
Oh.
Yes, Dave?
There was a posting of a transcript of the meeting at which we approved the communications policy, which included information about, I believe, the legal opinion we got at the time that said that even if we put forth such procedures, directors can't be required to go through them if they would like to make the request directly. So I do think we need to revisit it. I don't think we have time, nor do we have the materials here to do it, but I do think that that's going to be coming back to us.
I'm sorry, Dave, what was it that you were hoping that we revisit the communications policy itself?
No. The question of directors' inspection rights being required to go through that process in order to be respected.
Okay, so you're saying that it's not legally binding, but that...
What I'm saying is that the legal opinion we got at the time said that we cannot impel directors to abide by that. That, if people want to abide by common consent in order to make those requests, that's one thing, but that the policies that we make cannot act as a filter or a restriction on those rights.
Okay. So
you're suggesting you go back to my original proposal was that these requests go directly to the executive director.
You mean the Ambrose motion?
Yeah, many months ago.
I'd like to hear
from Lonnie as to what has transpired since the P&B move to provide the...
Yeah, let me do a quick little report on, and then end with a couple of questions. My understanding is that in a talk with Dan, I told him I was going to be on the call, and he wanted me to relay the message that prepared to move
help,
ahead with the inspection rights issue. Just if we could have a date when folks want to come in, so the preparation can be made. So at this point, that's the only issue that I see. It's just when do these folks want to do it, and then the staff will be on the alert. That would be the first item. The second one is the issue of, I recall at that last board meeting, and some of you might remember better than I do, that was the issue around confidentiality and whether or not that the board had requested that a confidentiality agreement be signed by folks. That is to say all P&B members, not just the two directors in question. I'm not remembering how that was finally adjudicated, and I'm not sure whether it was a prerequisite or not, but I do recall that there was agreement around it. And that, you know, that brings up the whole issue of whether or not such a confidentiality agreement needs to be passed on by the P&B or not. So those are a couple of ambiguities, but as I say, Dan said to pass along the message that getting a written request for a date and that the WBI staff will comply.
Lonnie, can you just, for the purpose of the record, restate what the point is about the confidentiality? Where are we at in that?
Yeah, right now I was looking over that same material, and as I recall, and some of you might recall better than I do, was that Mike Martin did bring it up, and he had a sample of a confidentiality agreement. There were several suggestions around what might be added. He, as I recall, was going to bring it back or send it out to the board for review. And at this point, I'm not sure where we are with that. And the second question, the only reason I bring it up, is whether or not it was the board's intent to have a confidentiality agreement be signed prior to the release of information, or whether it was simply a separate nice-to-have sort of action to take. I don't know the answer. I'm hoping
it was the latter.
It was the latter.
Yeah.
Do we want to speak to that coming from the coming from the coordinating committee? Or
no, the P&B has already spoken. So let's not beat that horse.
don't need to deal with it, right?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, I'm writing as fast as I can and trying to get this down. The latter was which?
Well, the issue of whether or not board members need to sign a confidentiality agreement.
And Ambrose said that they, he said it was the latter, and I didn't catch which option was the latter. They do or they do not?
Well, it sounds like Ambrose, you're saying they do not.
We're all bound by confidentiality anyhow.
And no need to have a separate...
I don't see any need for it. And I think we ought to proceed since I guess they've been advised that all they need is a date and the information be available.
Yeah, that's what I'm carrying forth from Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, can I say something? So they haven't been advised of that at this point. Who's going to handle that?
The executive director.
Yeah, executive director. We'll so advise, I guess. And I'll carry that forth to Dan.
So that nothing further is required other than the date?
No, that's right. That's my understanding, Dan.
So nothing, so request of clarification, clarified, nothing further is required other than the date.
Wow, so we actually came in under time on that agenda item.
Oh, we're going to move the agenda. In fact, I moved the agenda.
This is Ray. I have a question about that.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking for the document. I couldn't find it. I mean, I don't know how much of it we're discussing openly, but I was under the impression that the advice from the lawyer stated that it was, quote-unquote, reasonable to consider factors. So then are the factors in making the request? Am I wrong on that? Am I the only person feeling that way?
Yeah, after we dealt with that, the PNB said, let's go on and do it. And that was approved by the full PNB, so.
I believe that was a motion put forth by Steve.
Yep.
From the affiliates group.
That's right.
Well, this is Wendy. There is also the other problem of the fact that the directors were denied on the two dates when they were both on the premises. So how does the rest of this work now? You know, one of the directors would have to pay her own way to get back there.
Well, we didn't address that.
So who would... That should go back to the PNB. I mean, well...
If her LSB wants to foot the bill, let's do it. But we can't do it without authorization from the PNB.
This is Ray again. I believe I remember somebody had suggested that maybe some of the material could be sent. I mean, I don't know what was actually being sought for doable, but that some of the material could be forwarded to from New York.
By Patty Heffley?
Either that or by the station, at WBAI.
This is Wendy. They were very clear that they didn't want anybody to have to do any work. You know, they were just going to come and observe. That's what made it a director's inspection as opposed to a request for information.
Yes, I agree with you, Wendy, on that. We're talking about inspection, right? It's looking at materials rather than taking materials away or copying materials.
Well, they never asked to take anything out of the... Well, I mean, they could copy it there, yeah.
But, I mean, I do agree with Ambrose that this isn't a discussion for the coordinating committee. I think that this needs to be brought forth in front of the entire board because we can't authorize payment for a plane ticket as just being a committee. And so if this is something that they're still interested in seeking out, you know, funding for, then... I think it's upon them to then approach the entire PNB with this request rather than us trying to figure out what it is that they want, especially since neither of the directors are on the call. And so I would like to recommend that we move to the next agenda item. And, you know, I think Dan is going to articulate to them that he just needs a date. Wendy, if you want to mention to them, or I guess anyone else on the call, that... We did somewhat kind of bring up the issue about airfare, but we felt that it was inappropriate for us to discuss it in the coordinating committee, and that that's something that the full board would need to entertain, or KPFA, LSB, since that's the station that LaVarne is from. But I think that for us to just kind of go back and forth around this discussion, since we can't execute on it or provide any sort of recommendations at this point, I think it's more a waste of our time on this call.
The agenda.
Move the agenda.
Okay. The next item is the PNB secretary. Now, there were two things that Dave had brought up in recommending this agenda item. One was the discussion around a stipend for Leilani, and the other one was the logistics of secretarial duties during board meetings. So I guess we can handle the stipend issue first. I don't know if folks want to speak to that.
Leilani, have you talked to her about her requirements?
Yes, I have.
Then share it with us.
Yeah, pulling it up now. She has a proposal that we sort of worked out together, and here is what it sort of what's included is that her duties would be to distribute the minutes at the PNB board meeting and maintain the record of those proceedings, but not by a word by word transcript, but rather through a summary, something like the way she did the minutes last time, as you recall. And then they would be distributed by email and in person. The information would come from corresponding secretary of the board, and the board would have to decide who that was. That is to say, Leilani would not be at the meetings doing the recording of the motions or amendments. That would be the responsibility of a corresponding secretary. It's an old model, Ambrosian. You've got the recording secretary and the corresponding secretary.
Yeah.
And this is the same basic idea. The corresponding secretary would be responsible for keeping the minutes of the meetings while those meetings are in process and simply passing them on to Leilani. And in that way, we would have the separation of those two functions.
So you said corresponding secretary and recording secretary.
Yeah, it's an old nonprofit sort of way in which some boards are organized. And the corresponding secretary, which we may look at the vice chair as someone who might do that. I say it with fear and trembling, knowing your schedule, Julie. I know. But at least we could have maybe identified or have it rotate. Or I think we had a couple of people helping out at that last board meeting. But the corresponding secretary would assist with the preparation of agendas, working with Leilani. They would work with Leilani to get official correspondence for the board done. And they would be responsible for ensuring that all motions made at a board meeting were in written form so that Leilani wouldn't have to do that or revisit the tapes. And they would assure that the motions and amendments were properly recorded at the board meeting. So it would be dividing it up. The amount of money involved we did discuss was $150 a board meeting, which would be the payment to Leilani for doing it. There are other possible suggestions, but these are the ones that we came up with, just a way of dividing up that work around the minutes and the recording of the board.
Question?
Open to suggestions.
Question?
Okay.
Yeah. So would she be, I'm sorry, because I'm writing as I'm doing a lot of this, so I don't catch everything. Did you say she would be responsible for things like posting and other kinds of communications and essentially all activities, all of the secretarial responsibilities other than taking minutes at meetings?
Yes, that's essentially
during
correct. That's sort of the idea.
Okay, and so she would be taking the minutes of the record of the corresponding secretary, and then going back through the recordings of the meetings and crossing T's and dotting I's and things like that.
Yes, but she would also be involved on the front end of that meeting, which is to say the postings.
Okay.
The working with the chair and the coordinating secretary on agenda items, because someone maybe will need to write those up and get them out, make sure they're posted. So you're getting extra help in that area.
And so the question would be, is all of the other activities in between meetings that she involved with, I mean, you talked about 150 per meeting. Does that refer to both the in-person meetings and the telephonic meetings? And B, is the other stuff that she would be doing between meetings sort of included in that?
Yeah, it will be all included, and we would look at it as to see if that's a fair price for the work involved. But we would start out with that sort of scale.
And is it just for the in-person meetings, or is it also for the telephonic, 150 for each of the telephonic meetings as well?
It would be for the telephonic meetings as well. However, you know, she has a small child, and some of the telephonic meetings go on for a while. So she's willing to start out to see how it works, including all meetings, and then come back with, you know, if there's some issues.
This is Wendy. Julie?
Yeah, go for it.
I really want to say that I really want to thank Leilani for stepping up when we were in that conundrum at the last meeting. And I was going to start out by saying that I'm just wondering, you know, this was never a paid position before, and so I wonder if we can just award it to one person so informally. But then I was also expecting it to be a lot more money than that. So I guess I would ask the additional question, if we have a three-day in-person meeting, is that $150 or is that $450?
It would be the $150 at this point.
Okay.
But like I say, you know, since no one's ever done it before, she's willing to go into it and then see how much work there actually may be involved.
Right. And I want to say also that it seems to be in other kind of more traditional nonprofits that it is fairly appropriate for a staff member to do that. The place I work, the ED, actually does it. So anyway, I'm just wondering how that works. I would like to know. We really need to get the meetings from the minutes from the January meeting. I mean, who's doing that? And can we ask her to please do that? Since I don't think anybody's doing that.
Did we get the preliminary on January? I thought we had, but let me make sure.
We got, you know, one thing from William pretty early on that was the race and nationality stuff.
Right.
And we got a lot of who got elected to committees, but it still was never really officially finished even on that part, and we definitely don't have the minutes from the three-day meeting, and I think that that's dangerous. And
all right, I will have
a lot of the things that we've tried to do subsequently.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I will follow up on that with her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think there probably is going to be a little bit more work, but I do think that that with an organization our size and with 106 motions from last year, we're not the smaller nonprofit, so... We do need to make arrangements to make sure our business and our minutes are properly recorded.
Yep.
The only issue that the issue that I'm seeing is who would be the in-meeting person handling the recording of the motions, given this model that we're talking from. I mean, you know, is that something we want to recommend to the board, that there be a person or volunteer or whatever?
There has to be. Somebody's got to do it. You know, we're very, very pleased that Mike and Rob did it last time. But we've got to have somebody on the board who's going to step up.
Well, that was kind of where I was going when I say, you know, this was never a paid position, and, you know, maybe other people would be interested, since if it is a paid position, interested in doing both parts of it. Because, you know, when we're there, a lot of this stuff happens visually, and that's, we really got to be more diligent to make sure that everything we do is verbal, because we're recording and going back to those recordings and all that stuff. But that would recap the person coming in later to summarize it all a little bit. But so I don't really know what to do. But I also have the question, you know, would that make her an officer of the board? Who holds the seal? You know, is there any kind of problem with that if it's two people doing it, or if it's, you know, one step for, you know, what do you guys think?
What I'd like to see her do is to get the tapes of the January meeting and see what she can do with it.
Well, it's my understanding that we've already paid somebody to transcribe that whole thing, and then when I asked her, well, when do we see those minutes, then William said, well, I'm working on it. I don't know.
We haven't seen anything, so we've got to get that
information. I will follow up, Ambrose.
I'd appreciate that.
I'll follow up. You know, some of our problems could be solved by agreeing on a format. Maybe what we need to do is to recommend a format. That is, if we were to stick to just the action items and motions passed.
In fact, that's what I did this time. I worked with Leilani to do that.
And, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. It's the way minutes should be taken of corporations. And so if she can get those tapes, I'd be more than happy to work with her in putting it together.
I'll follow through, members. I really will.
Just tell her to put the raw stuff together, and we'll work together to make it make sense.
Okay.
There was also...
It doesn't solve that problem. Somebody's got to step up on this board. And, you know, I originally was hoping Dave could do it because he's a good detail man.
Oh, but then I can't interrupt.
Well, I can, but it's for a clarification, not for
it
stuff.
Never stop Roger.
Or William.
Well, one of the things, this is Julie, I just wanted to kind of step up in the moment. I know that Lonnie had made the suggestion that potentially it's the vice chair that could take this on, and I would be more than happy to do the in-person stuff. The teleconferences are sometimes a little bit more difficult because I am on the road a lot, and so sometimes I'm on a teleconference while I'm driving and don't have access to a computer at that point to take diligent minutes, but I would be happy to do the in-person meetings kind of moving forward, starting with the June meeting in Berkeley. And it would be helpful if verbally talking with folks that have suggestions about what the format can be, only because I've never, you know, been an official secretary for a board before, and so just getting a little guidance and direction on that would be fine. I'd also be more than happy on Monday's meeting to kind of open this up to the entire board to see if there's anyone else that may be more enthusiastic about taking this on. But in the event that there isn't anyone, then I wouldn't mind adding this to my duties.
Bless Dave.
That's brave.
Julie?
This is Ray. I had one question on clarification. It sounds like you're saying, Lonnie, if it turned out to be more work than Ollie's expecting, that we think it is, that she would still be willing to do it. It's just that she might charge more for doing it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rather than saying that it's too much work and she cannot do it.
Well, you know, we've got her doing other stuff here at the national office as well. So there's a schedule issue plus a workload issue and a cost issue. No, but I think we're starting out on what is a new process. See how it goes, and if there's a need to make adjustments, we'll come back.
Fair enough.
$150 is a very low base today.
But we're doing, Ambrose, is seeing this not as part of her salary, but on an hourly rate.
Yeah, I understand.
And right, and the advantage to her is that she's already having to be housed and flown to these meetings. But I still have a problem. I don't understand who is listed as the secretary of the Pacifica National Board with the FCC, with the, who all we ought to list it with. Who would that be?
Yeah. That's an excellent point, Wendy. We need a secretary, and that person will and has to be an officer of the board.
Well, then if Julie's willing to do it, that works out very nicely.
But wait, but the bylaws say that our secretary can be anybody. They don't have to be on the board. They would still be an officer of the board, no matter who. If we hire somebody or they get a volunteer or whatever, they could still be the official secretary of the board. I just don't understand who it is when we got two people doing the job.
Well, it's very simple. Julie just volunteered to step up if nobody else wants to do it, and we can take care of that officially at the next board.
Julie's going to be vice chair and secretary?
Of course. Yeah, bylaws say that's possible, as I recall.
Not sure of that, but I can go look them up. In the meantime, can I make another suggestion?
Sure.
You know, what will make this a lot easier, and people have said it before, William used to say it a lot, is if the motions are put in writing. And I know that people may be a little technophobic, but you can buy a network printer that's wireless enabled for something like $90 now. I think HP has one. We had such a printer at the meetings, and everybody with a laptop computer could communicate with that printer and just print out motions as they come, and we could just request whoever has a motion to write it down or give it to someone with a computer to transcribe it, so that we have hard copy records and it's not just up to Julie, if she agrees to do that, to write everything down.
I would object to that. I mean, we can hand them a pencil too.
Okay, but I'm telling you, when you're dealing with people wanting to see motions, the ability to print them out is a nice thing. But
How much are we talking about, Dave?
$90 or so. I mean, the one I saw was $90.
Actually, the reason I'm objecting is because then I can see a bunch of distraction happening, you know, where somebody runs over to borrow somebody's laptop or goes over to get, I don't know. I'm not going to object big time, but I don't know that that's the solution is all I'm saying.
Well, I think what we did last time was that if you have a motion, say a board member does, they can walk over to, I don't know, recording Julie or walk over to someone with a laptop. Either way will do. But but if they have it written down, that is the first step. That would make things a lot easier too.
Can I raise another point?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm looking through the bylaws for the section on secretary, and one of the things I noticed is there are a whole lot of provisions in here about such and such required, like, for example, ballots are required to go to the foundation secretary and the rest. So I would think that those are the sort of duties we'd want from the the recording secretary. But if what Wendy's talking about is the person who holds the seal and is the official sort of foundation secretary, seems to me that we're actually talking about that being Leilani, not one of the board members.
Yeah, we would want. Yeah, it has to be the recording secretary. A lot of times, the secretary's signature is required on legal documents too. So it's you know.
Yeah, registering their addresses, numbers. All of this stuff in here. Oh, and actually, under nomination, in the section on nomination, under specific powers and duties and board of directors, it specifically says that the nomination shall be given in writing to the recording secretary for the radio station. That's for the radio station. But it specifies the recording secretary where it says anything.
Yeah, we could switch the titles around, but the duties would, I think we have to separate those legal duties from a minute compilation.
Right. Is there anything that in what Dave, or maybe ask Dave, in what you're seeing that prohibits Julie from also being the secretary?
Here we go. Here's the important part. No, I don't think so. It says the office of the foundation shall be a chair, a vice chairperson, an executive director, a secretary, and a chief financial officer. The foundation may also have, at the discretion of the board of directors, one or more assistant secretaries. So I think maybe we're talking about Leilani functioning as an assistant secretary. Is that correct?
Not, yeah, if you could see it that way, yes, I would agree.
And it also says any number of offices may be held by the same person, except that neither the secretary nor the CFO shall serve concurrently as the chair of the board or the executive director. So Julie could
be vice chair and secretary.
Right. And with the exception of the chair of the board and the vice chair, no officer is required to be a director.
Yep. This is where I think the key here is to give it a try and say it works and see if it's sufficient.
Thank you, Julie.
No problem. I'll let you know how I feel after our June meeting.
I know you will.
Okay, so just to clarify here, I'm going to rewrite this because I said the division of tasks would be between a corresponding and a recording secretary, and I'm going to redo that as a secretary and an assistant secretary, and then say Leilani is going to serve as the assistant secretary.
Got it.
Now, that raises the question for the bylaws, for all these other duties of the secretary, that secretary would rely, so Julie would be responsible for signatures where the foundation signature, where the secretary's signature is required,
sure.
And ultimately Leilani would do things like accumulate ballots and things like that, but ultimately it would be Julie who would end up in possession of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
so do we need to entertain a formal motion to accept Leilani's proposal, or can we accept it upon consensus?
I think we should move that we recommend that Julie serve as foundation secretary and Leilani serve as assistant secretary responsible for producing final minutes and other communications and secretarial functions.
Oh, I would want to produce a job description, Dave, and maybe we can send that along.
Okay, so how shall we do that?
Well, I got one that I think what I'll just send it along to you, proposed duties, that we could be clear about them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Sounds good to me. So are there any objections to moving forward? Okay, hearing none, move on to item number 5, which is posting and access to minutes from PNB committees. Ray, since I had received this from you and from the directors in New York, would you mind introducing this?
Yeah, this was raised by Bob Lederer as a result of a meeting, I don't know, one of the committees he's part of, and what it's alluding to is the need for people to know what's going on. At some point, for example, I'll give you an example that affected some of the work I'm doing. There was an issue concerning the National Committee of Inclusion that was referred to that committee and to the Finance Committee. While the Finance Committee was considering the issue, and that was specifically the funding for 2 part-time positions for national coordinators in those areas, they looked at only part of the charge and considered salary and other stuff based only on one source of funding, which was namely on-air fundraising. And as a result, came up with a whole set of truncated results that did not suffice, and had to go back. So if I had the ability, for example, to look at this, I could have advised them. That's one example. So basically, this is a viewing privilege only, not the ability to change the material. Maybe Dave, I don't know, who's a more advanced technological person there, could comment on that. So this would be something, so the resolution, as it is, could read, be resolved that all PNB members be allowed viewing privileges for all PNB committees committee minutes via Yahoo groups. You know, we would have access to all the Yahoo groups to actually look at. And an important factor that it would include those minutes just even at the draft level. So if it takes a while to make them formal, we would still have access to them.
Why don't you simply require that the minutes of committees be posted and be posted by Leilani?
Or how? What else?
Posted where?
On the PNB site.
Well, I guess the idea here, this way again, was not to, you know, to flood people to the level where, you know, where besides everything we're getting now, we would have a minutes of every single committee available, you know, to, whether in a passive way, it would be available. I don't know, what's it, I don't know if Dave has any suggestion on that technically. What is
involved
there?
I think the way to do it is to have a, have the site set up the way other sites are set up around the network where, you know, you can post agendas and you can, I mean, you can post the existence of meetings. So you could do a Mambo or a PHP interface. But basically every secretary of every committee would have access to a committee homepage thing and could just automatically post their minutes there once they became approved minutes. So it would all happen without the secretary actually of the, either the assistant secretary or the foundation secretary having to deal with that. But that secretary or assistant secretary would have the overall administrator rights to it, so if there were any conflict or problem or change or whatever, they would have the ability to go in and change those things. I think that makes the most sense and reduces the workload. I mean, the people who are functioning as PMB secretaries are already doing like 99% of it, and it seems ridiculous to then have to have another person deal with all that. So that's something that, you know, our national tech director has already set up for other things, I believe. So I think it seems like that's the best way.
How would it work?
Well, basically, you just log in. Every secretary would have a login to that site, and it would. Have you ever been to KPFTX, where there's just a list of all of the committee meetings, and it has all the archive transcripts? It's just the same thing. It would look like that, and it would be a, you know, last in is at the most recent postings at the top of the list. And
I have one question. This is Reagan. So that the secretaries of each committee would themselves be placing the notes, the minutes from their own committee?
Up on the site. So at the Pacifica website, we have a page for each committee. And basically, on that page would be this interface for the people to use. So it would just look like the same kind of thing they have on KPFTX. And yes, every PMB secretary would be in charge of posting to that. They could also post and should post the agendas. I mean, right now, John Sirius is having to do that, but they could do both.
Yeah. Well, in my version of it, each individual board member would have the access to it.
Oh, they'd be public.
Rather than just a... So you're saying that the secretary would have access to posting privilege?
Yeah,
exclusive posting, but the view would be done to it by everybody.
Yeah, and you might need for executive sessions a separate secure thing that only PNV members have access to. But that's a little bit more involved.
Okay, I have one more question. This space is already available and can be done to KPFTX?
No, it could be
rather
on the Pacifica website.
Yes. Okay.
It's just using the same kind of interface he's got set up for KPFTX.
Yes.
Is the website, the Pacifica website, set to do that now?
I think it can, that server can run Mambo interface, I think. I think they're already talking about doing it for some other things as well. So, I think it can do that. And we definitely already have pages up for every committee. So it would just be a matter of putting that on those pages.
Yeah.
Okay. So that the motion I would read would be the same. Please resolve that all PNB members be allowed viewing privileges of all PNB committee minutes. And instead of saying via Yahoo groups, it would say that...
be posted on the Pacifica website.
On the Pacifica website.
Oh. But, you know, the other thing is that I think that wasn't that motion originally intended that board members could actually also look at the list traffic on the Yahoo group so that they could also read, you know, when people were having discussions on things, they could look at all of that. Wasn't that also part of the original idea?
I believe so, yes. As I said, this came from very practical discussions on a committee of which I'm not part. Could you elaborate a bit on that?
Hey, this is Wendy. I missed a lot of this discussion, but I really don't understand this motion. It seems to me that what it should read is.
Hello.
I think Wendy got cut off.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll rejoin us again.
By the way, I'd just like to say that I would like, and particularly given some of the confidential committees like personnel, and in this case the executive director search committee, I would like to see us have a standing rule that says that any board member may call in and listen to confidential committees' deliberations. Not voice or vote, but they can hear the discussion. For one thing, I think it'll save us a lot of time on meetings of the full board where people are saying, well, how did this get decided or whatever. And it'll also help with communication so that board members that have interests in what's being talked about can communicate to members of those committees before it comes up to the board level. I don't know how other people feel about that. The same.
You know, it feels like a governance issue, though, Dave.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, and I see that as a separate issue than what we're trying to resolve here, so
yeah.
I'd like to finish with this motion.
Okay.
And close it out before we.
Do we have a reading on the motion? I got it down, so it's like, Ray?
Yes.
What, is there a reading on it that we can hear?
Well, I started reading it, and I was waiting for Wendy to make some suggestion for change. I thought she had a better formulation.
But the idea was that all P&B minutes would be posted on the Pacifica website. Is that where we started?
By each committee.
By each committee secretary.
Yeah, each committee secretary.
And that every board member and that this privilege be viewing privilege be available
automatic.
To every board member.
Well, that's automatic.
Yeah.
Ray, did you email this before?
I did. I was actually looking for the language. I don't know if Julie still has it.
Because I heard the comment that you made, Dave, and it, at least in the email that you had forwarded from Bob, Ray,
yes.
It didn't indicate, it named Yahoo groups, but it didn't indicate access to, like,
Julie's.
Seeing the listserv kind of discussion and debate. I'm not saying that that's not a part of it, but I don't recall seeing that. Let me pull it up.
Do you know what the date was?
Well, that's not in the motion he's making now.
It's not, okay.
Well, the point Dave is making, though, is that if it was the desired result, we could have made the motion to reflect that.
Yeah, that was,
Hey, this is Wendy. Something happened to my phone. Like, as soon as I talked, I couldn't hear anybody else, so I don't know if you guys heard me or if...
No, it didn't. You sounded like you got cut off.
Okay. Well, I guess one thing that I'd like to say is that I would like to move to table this until we have a little more discussion or until we can hear more about it from the person making the motion, suggesting the motion.
Well, Wendy, rather than tabling
the
whole thing, could we, the first part of this, the idea that all public minutes should get posted on our public website is something we should do.
Didn't it say only PNB members could look at it?
Yeah, well, actually, the reason for that is that some of them would be at a draft level, so they wouldn't be necessarily official minutes of the foundation.
Well, and also some of them are going to be confidential things, like,
exactly.
For example, I would like, I think part of the intent was that people could look at what was going on in confidential committees as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. Okay.
I have the original language. The original language was resolved that all PNB members be allowed viewing privileges for all PNB committee Yahoo groups, including at the draft stage. So the Yahoo groups viewing privilege means that's what it means. It means if you have viewing privileges, you can log on, you can look at all of the email that goes on between the committee members.
I would at least take out the word Yahoo groups. I mean, if that's part of a Pacifica motion, then that's sort of scary. How about viewable listservs or something like that?
Okay, that sounds good. It was just based on the fact that all, in a practical fashion, all our committees communicate through Yahoo groups. But you're right, since this is a business venture, we could just put it in a more generic way. Actually, what I was looking for, Dave, was the email, the note from Bob. You know, I can formulate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to find it. Can
I
you
have
read it.
It,
Dave?
Yeah. You want me to, would you, Ray, could you please
just
place on the agenda of the coordinating committee an item about the posting of minutes from each PMB committee, not including LSBs? My concern is that all PMB members, whether on a given committee or not, should be able to view minutes in a timely manner, even when they're in draft form, i.e. before committee approval, as it may inform our decisions as PMB members. My suggestion would be that the entire PMB be granted viewing but not posting privileges for all committee Yahoo groups. Perhaps others have other ideas on how to accomplish this goal without overloading all of our inboxes. That's easy. You don't have to have delivery checked in the options. Also, I want to make sure the system is running smoothly to publish committee minutes on the Pacifica.org site. Very few are currently on the site, none from this year's committees. This doesn't require a motion, just a reminder to secretaries to forward approved minutes to Pete Caracas, the Pacifica web worker.
That's it?
That was the basis upon which
I would second that motion, and I would vote for it.
So we were on the level of how would, you know, what would the best technical way to achieve that?
Well, for PMB members, the best way to do it is that whoever is the list manager for each of the lists adds, you would send out the email list of all the PMB members, and they would add them as people who had, I think you can do viewing privileges without having posting privileges and without having delivery. So I can find that out in a second if you give me just a moment.
I mean, actually, if people are comfortable with that, I could talk to Pete Caracas and look at the feasibility.
I think that would be wise, though. I agree, Ray, because I'm wondering if he set up at least what his feedback would be on having the 11 committees and some of the Yahoo groups.
And now would we submit the motion with any necessary change, you know, based on that and at the next meeting?
Good.
Yeah.
Great idea, Ray.
For the record, the website already says, it lists every committee, and it says, here are the minutes from that committee, except there aren't any. There are some, but there aren't any, like Bob said, there aren't any for this year. So that has fallen by the wayside, and it is important stuff. So that's all.
Maybe this is just kind of a suggestion, only because I know that I'm the secretary now for the NCOI, and I don't have the email address of where I need to send the approved minutes. So maybe that's something that we can send out to the entire board just one more time with a quick kind of one or two lines saying, you know, just remember that this is really critical that we post all of our minutes from our committees and send them to this address, just so we make sure that everyone has that clear information. And maybe I'm the only one that's in the dark, and if I am, then we don't need to do that, but it seems like it might be a helpful thing to do.
If you mean the Pacifica worker, I can email that to you.
Okay.
It's web@pacifica.org, but the problem is that he's either having too many other things to do or just not hearing us, and so I would move that we instruct the ED to ask the staff to please notice the meetings and put the stuff that the board sends him on the website.
Well,
okay.
I think
Lonnie, is that something that you can follow up on?
Well, I'm reluctant to have that be an instruction.
Okay.
Can you just put forth that concern to Dan? Because I know it's something he's concerned about too. I mean, we took pictures of everybody when we were in New York, and those pictures still haven't appeared. A lot of things like that are just kind of falling by the wayside, and I'm not laying any blame or anything, but the official secretaries are sending stuff that needs to be put up there. So if you could just put the message through to remind people to do that.
I think those are three. There are three good ideas. I'm hearing one is to remind people to do it, and if they pick up on that reminder, and then we're halfway there. The other part of it is, you know, whether the webmaster has any feedback for us. So let's take those two things as next steps. The reminder would be step one, and then step two would be to get some feedback from Pete around maybe making some arrangements to have that material once it does start coming in. Have a space and some protocols.
You folks, you know what I do is I just send the minutes as soon as they're done to the PMB. Is there some reason why we couldn't? Might it be simpler, since what he wanted was access to draft minutes, to just ask that all secretaries CC the PNB? Because the web worker's job is to post it on the website. But, again, that doesn't help for confidential minutes or anything else. So if we just said, you know, we make it a policy that when PMB committee secretaries distribute draft or approved minutes, they CC them to the PNB. That covers everything. It's pretty low tech.
Yeah, that would be easy to do, too.
And that could go out with the reminder that we send just for people to also post their minutes. And so, Ray, if it's just web@pacifica.org, then I can go ahead and send out a reminder.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm quite comfortable with that suggestion. And if people feel, the fear was that people might be overwhelmed having many more, you know, minutes from committees that are part of and so on. And so I'm willing to try it.
It doesn't even compare to the number of ads I get for Cialis and Viagra.
Please go to my bulk section.
Okay. I guess we can move this in.
Wait, before we do, what do I write down here as the resolution of this? Where are we at? Are we going to, do we recommend that the board request that all PMB committee secretaries CC draft minutes and approved minutes to the PMB?
Exactly.
What we said.
Okay.
And post on the website.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Moving along, we're now on agenda item number 6, the Pacifica Internet Tuner Project, and that was an information request that was sent by Dave Adelson. Dave, I don't know if you want to put this in context. In terms of how this information request came about, and then we can decide on how we move on it?
Yeah, this came about on the Finance Committee call, and I was raising the point that our budget doesn't allow us, the structuring of our budget doesn't allow us to see how much particular initiatives cost. And I said, for example, I'm interested in knowing how much our total web efforts, the Pacifica Internet Tuner as a project, but more generally our web distribution efforts at the national level were costing, and what those cost categories were. For example, things like how much are we paying for bandwidth, if any of us know we can get a better deal, blah, blah, blah. What are we doing? And Dan said you can make that as an information request through the coordinating committee. So I decided to do that.
Well, let me... what I've got from Don Rojas and what I know, that the Internet Tuner is now running on volunteer efforts, and the bandwidth is costing like $600 a month to maintain the site. They have 7,000 names that they've accumulated in connection with that tuner, email addresses, I should say. And with Don leaving, they're looking around for ways to maintain that.
Could I just, rather than do it by the phone, could I just request that you send me a memo with whatever information you've got, and then if there's more, we can go from there?
Sure, let's do it that way.
Great.
Good. Great.